dirección hacia territorio del jardín central. Carlos Correa, Duque, a lo profundo.
Why are you so happy today?
Yes, sir, Jeff.
Ask me if I'm worried.
Well, you should be.
just prolonging the agony. That's all.
I'm watching that game and just a razor. And I even text you an emoji.
Barker is still this whole razor boring thing. It's the stupidest argument in the history.
It's not an argument. It's an observation.
The only thing this year that is a stupid was the whining about Nate Pearson and his service time. That's the only thing that we talked about that was just as dumb and as razor boring. That's so hot taking. Perfection is boring.
That's it. Yeah,
perfection.
It's
perfection.
That is poetry in motion.
I hate it when guys catch balls and throw them to the right bases.
You know what I think it is? I really do. They have made me despise the shift.
You've always hated the shift.
I hate it more now.
You know what? Hitters are whiners.
I hate it more now.
Hitters are whiners. They are. How dare baseball?
Yeah.
Do something that is going to require them to exercise, I don't know, some sort of control, maybe try something different.
God. How dare you tell me to stay inside a ball and hit it where they ain't. How dare you, Jeff, say that.
Anyhow, this is the Astros fluked out a win last night over the
Rays.
And now Barker's convinced that they're going to win. You know what's going to happen again?
Ninth inning's going to roll around, and Nick Anderson's going to be on the mound. Guess who's going to walk to the plate?
Nick Anderson ain't going to be around. Somebody else out there. That Pete Franklin fellow working out there. They're fine. The Rays are fine. The Rays are the only team. They are the only team in the postseason
that can't hit a lick and still win.
They're the only team in the postseason whose closer could give up a home run like that, and you'd go, whatever.
I don't think that's what they're doing.
I think they're. What do you think? They're panicking?
I think they're trying to figure out how to get a hit when it matters. I think they put a lot of pressure on their strength. How long is that, can that last? That's the question.
Defense wins championship. Can
somebody smart put everybody in the exact right position to where that defender never has to move? And win a World Series? Because that's basically what this is going to come down to.
Yeah, of course they can.
That's exactly what's going to have to happen.
Of course they can.
Because Brandon Lau's not... he's not driving that...
He hits a home run the first at bat, and we're all thinking the same thing.
What did I say? I text you something. Blind squirrel.
Yeah, but that's my line. Every now and then a blind squirrel finds a nut.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I know. All right.
Yeah.
What did I send? I sent the flexed muscle emoji.
Yeah.
By the way, you spelt too bad. It's T-O-O, not T-O.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. I just want to point
that out. I think that's the phone doing that.
Oh, it could be.
I've never made mistakes, Jeff.
I've done the same thing. I got fat fingers.
That's the first thing you probably noticed, too.
I correct stuff. I correct stuff. Of course I correct it.
How I said it.
Proper grammar is good.
Yeah. And look, he spelled it wrong. Here's something.
Anyhow. So Barker's convinced that we'll talk about the Rays-Astros series with Todd Callis in a few minutes. Todd Callis, the radio play-by-play voice of the Astros, who also happens to have been the Rays on-field reporter for a long time. So he knows a lot about it.
Plenty of naps during games.
I'm going to ask him. First question I'm going to ask him.
How bored are you?
Settle an argument. Do you think as the person in this room who is on the show who's seen the most Rays baseball, how would you respond to people who think they're boring? Then I'm going to say, how would you respond to people who think the team you're now covering, the Astros, cheated?
Yeah.
All kidding aside, it was kind of cool to see Dusty Baker do his little... Did you see his dance?
It was awesome.
It was only... It was Did you see that?
I think it's pretty cool that Correa said, looked over at Dusty and said, I'm going to walk this off.
You think he said that?
Go ahead. I don't think it's exactly what he said.
Well, how do you know?
That's
what I would say. He's with the Astros. He could be lying. He could be lying. He could be lying. It's an Astro.
At this point in time, why would you lie anymore?
Yeah, that's true. Guess what?
What's the worst can happen? Tell the truth.
Let's talk about the Dodgers.
That's your boy, Clayton.
Well, I mean, there is a guy in this show who, the Braves let him back in the series in the in game two, and now the pressure's squarely in the Braves. The Braves had their magic charm.
Oh, they did
last night. So Clayton Kershaw.
You just throw a rookie against the future Hall of Famer.
How do you know he's going to be in the Hall of Fame?
He has three Cy Youngs. You would think he would, you know. Do you think he's a Hall of Fame?
He ain't a first ballot Hall of Famer for me.
You think his woes in the playoffs are going to keep that from happening?
I'll tell you what, you poop your pants in the playoffs as often as he does, yeah. I would think twice about voting. I would not give him a first ballot. It would depend who's on the ballot, let's be honest. It would depend who's on the ballot. But, yeah, I penalize guys for choking in the postseason.
I'll say this.
Dawson was a great player. Check out Andre Dawson's postseason stats.
I know everybody's going to love to hear this, but he has... For me, third time through a lineup will never, ever happen
again
when it matters.
Is he a choker?
Choking is a strong word. I think he's left-handed. I think that hurts.
All right.
He faces a lot of right-handed dominant lineups. How many times can you spin it and do a little bit of trickery with all of the motions that he does on the mound and get through 25 outs? It's hard. Like, it's a tough thing to... You know, and for me, he doesn't use breaking ball enough. I still will never understand that. Obviously somebody smart with the Dodgers is saying don't overuse it.
Analytics.
Listen, I've tried to hit against big breaking balls. How many big 12-6 yackers you ever see from a left-handed pitcher who releases it from where he does?
Yeah.
Never. Well, throw it more. That would be one of the things. But, again, I really do think the third time through, the more you see him and you can – zone in on where he releases it from and forget about all that stuff that goes on before that. And you can basically eliminate his breaking ball. Don't throw it enough that it'll scare you. You don't throw hard enough now that that's going to scare you. So how does he consistently get you out the more you see him? That's what you have to ask yourself. And the numbers, the ERA, all those things speak for themselves.
590-590 is the text line if you want to reach out. And I don't even know what question do you.
I ask on Instagram, is the most overrated big game pitcher in the history of baseball?
Well, let me throw out a number to you, because funny that you would say that. Bum, bum, bum. Let me get this number. Play some music or something while I'm looking this up. Do we have any of that sort of sexy lounge music while
I'm
trying to find
it? Is that the number you're looking for?
What?
That little paragraph right there.
God, no. Hang on. 590-590 is a text line. I'm going to keep repeating it till I find this. Okay, let's take a look at Greg Maddux's postseason numbers. Greg Maddux, pitched for the Braves, of course, postseason
right-handed.
Pitching.
Remember
right-handed.
That.
Now. Well, he's still, okay, this is not as bad as I thought it was. Come on, Jeff. His ERA is 3.27. That's not horrible. His whip is 1.242 in the postseason. His regular season whip was... His regular season whip was... Where is it? Anyhow, it wasn't as good.
Okay, so here's a number for you. Clayton Kershaw.
Wrong, it wasn't as good.
Here's what I got you. Clayton Kershaw's 4.31 career ERA is the worst in Major League Baseball history.
There you go.
Among pitchers with over 100 playoff innings.
There you go.
There's 30 of those pitchers that have been in the playoffs. He has the worst ERA. He might go down as the greatest or one of the greatest left-handed regular season pitchers in the history of baseball.
Now, okay, but here's the thing. Overall, you know, his pitching line this October is what? 23 strikeouts, 2 walks, 19 innings, 3.32 ERA. It's not horrible.
When you think of Clayton.
But yeah, I know
think of 7 scoreless. Hand the ball to the setup guy, they win the game that they're supposed to win. And then if you're the manager, you think about how win the other 3 games.
Okay, let me ask you.
You never do that with him.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Is Should the criticism here be directed less at Clayton Kershaw and more at Dave Roberts? Does Dave Roberts still think he's managing 22-year-old Clayton Kershaw? I mean, does he still think he's managing the Clayton Kershaw of, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago?
So you mean take him out sooner? Don't leave him in as long? You could argue that.
I'm asking you. Honest to God, I understand that when a guy... There's a temptation, even if a guy has scuffled in the postseason, if he's been your guy all along, there's a temptation to give him extra leash.
Is an example of that,
right? But I don't know what I would do. How do you have that discussion with Clayton Kershaw?
You don't
Kershaw?
Really have it. You're winning games. This is a habit.
Yeah,
it's not just all of a sudden he's doing this. No, this is a habit. There's going to be an inning that matters in a playoff game most of the time that he gives it up. And it's normally the third time through an order. That's why for me, from here on, if they move on to the World Series, no way. Like, it's when this third time through, you figure out whoever you want to bring in, your best reliever, you know, depending on where you're at in the order, that kind of thing. I know fifth inning, what did he face? He went 1-2-3 with a strikeout facing the bottom of the order. Sixth inning, he's facing the top of the order. That's the thing, right? This is, you know, the Braves battle. They give you an at bat.
So you think as soon as he gives up that go ahead hit to, was it Freddie Freeman, right? You think he should have taken him out at that point?
Yep.
I mean, Ozuna was hitting the ball hard all night to begin with, but yeah, I'm kind of with you, and you know. Mike Petrello of MLB.com has done a real good look, sort of a Clayton Kershaw's postseason career. And you think back to last year, right? Remember when Roberts left him in to face Juan Soto?
Uh-huh.
And what was the score at that point? It was 2-1 Atlanta. He left him in to face. No, it wasn't 2-1. It was way past that. But you know what I'm saying, right? He left him in too long to face him, and. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you do. You know, we're gonna have Ned Coletti on Writer's Block with Brent. We'll talk to him about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Kershaw, you talked about Ozuna.
Yeah.
Would you rather Ozuna face 90 left-handed for the third time,
or
would you rather face Gratterall, who throws a
bowling ball and he's got
Now, Gratterall, for whatever reason, doesn't strike anybody out.
No, he's a sinker.
But why? What would you rather him face?
I'd rather him face Gratterall.
Then you answered your question.
Big point of the game. I've got to go with him. I wonder though if that is that not a product of him not having faith in Kenley Jansen too? Well, no, because he went with
Gratterall. That's a great question. You'd have to ask him. I don't know the answer.
Like,
if
you have complete faith in Kenley Jansen, if you have complete faith in Kenley Jansen,
you solidified the ninth inning. You have to worry about the other two innings.
Yeah. It's frustrating. Yeah, look, I'm not a Dodgers fan, but one thing I really don't like, and it doesn't matter the sport, to be honest, it really doesn't. I don't like seeing guys who have long, successful careers and do it the right way, which Clayton Kershaw has done. Clayton Kershaw, to me, is a bit like Dan Marino. Right? I don't like watching guys that have long careers to do it the right way not get a title.
Yeah, I think
or at least come up short. And maybe in Kershaw's case it's worse because he's a pitcher, right? And it's always on the pitcher. You know, Dan Marino doesn't, or a quarterback doesn't have a great postseason game, and well, it's football, right? There's 10 other guys on your team on the field at the same time. I think it's worse for a pitcher. But that, as a sports fan, that bothers me because I like guys who have long careers, do it the right way, and are good citizens. Yeah, I like seeing them get rewarded.
I think there should be no doubt he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but with the way he pitches in the playoffs, I'm with you. You would have to sit and go, do I really want to give this to him first ballot?
Yeah, again, it depends. Hall of Fame voters, everybody's different. I really do put a lot of weight on how you perform in the postseason because, you know, when you're electing someone to the Hall of Fame, you're electing the best of the best. And to be the best of the best, you've got to have some rings. And to be the best of the best, the one thing you certainly, even if you don't have rings, you cannot have a reputation. Guys don't make it. Hey, if your team doesn't make it to the playoffs, okay, I can't blame you for that. But if your team does make it to the playoffs and you don't perform well time after time after time after time, then to me, that separates you from a Hall of Famer. Like, to me, the quintessential Hall of Famer is Mariano Rivera. You're going to tell me that Clayton Kershaw deserves to have his career judged the same way that Mariano did?
No. This, too, how do you take the Dodgers serious? Again, I've mentioned this. You go into that game last night, your offense could not have been any hotter and have any more confidence. You were facing a rookie.
What did you think of Bryce Wilson, by the way?
I think the four-seamer sinker or thing is, look, now, element of surprise.
There's another guy, though. What if we talk about another guy throwing 96, 97?
It's amazing, right? I don't understand where they get all these guys that do that. How all of a sudden they flipped a switch and everybody's throwing that hard. I don't understand what they do in the minor leagues. What are they drinking?
I wonder if maybe it isn't. It's the time of year it is, you know, for a lot of these guys. It's October, but again, they don't have normal October miles on their arms. That's the only thing I can think of. That's the only answer that I have. Todd Callis is the TV play-by-play voice of the Houston Astros, formerly the longtime Rays TV reporter. He is the perfect person to settle this. I cannot believe I'm even calling it an argument because I have so little respect for people who think the Rays are a boring team.
Observation, Jeff.
Observation that my Tampa Bay Rays, that perfection is boring. I bet you would go to see the Mona Lisa and you'd go, paper's kind of cracked a bit, wouldn't you? You would. You would look at perfection. You would. You'd go to the Eiffel Tower and go, there's a little bit of rust up there. Sistine Chapel. I don't know. That blue. Todd Callis is next. This is Baseball Central, the historical arts discussion edition on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You can reach out to us and text us at 590-590. Barker's asked the question on Instagram about whether or not Clayton Kershaw is one of the all-time. Did you use the word choker?
No, I would never say that.
Yeah, I know you didn't. What was the word you used? One of the all-time, most disappointing. There you go. Postseason pitchers out there. So 590-590 is a text line. Look, we've had this debate. Well, I admit there are two things that really got me upset this year. One was Derek Fisher. You remember the Derek Fisher rant that I had? Yeah. That is legendary.
Who could forget?
Yeah. The other is this insane argument that the Tampa Bay Rays are boring. Now, understand that I am the person who predicted the Rays. I'm the only person on the planet to predict the Rays would win the World Series.
4 years running.
2 years running. I also predicted it last year. Give me some credit. I did not say 4 years in a row they're going to run. I am a believer. I am a believer. I've got my Rays up shirt. I've got my Rays cap, which I will wear every day if they go to the World Series.
I will not come in here.
I'll have my Rays cap on.
Okay.
This to me is just it's a silly argument. So, but don't take my word for it. Todd Callis is a TV play-by-play voice with the Houston Astros. Todd Callis, those of you probably know, was also a longtime Rays TV reporter. And Todd, we're glad that you're joining Kevin and myself. Hope you're doing well. Trust you're doing well, et cetera, et cetera. Having said that, I'm going to put you on the spot. Are the Rays boring? Keeping in mind you now work for the Astros, I don't have to tell you that, but are the Rays boring?
You can say it.
The only reason I think people feel, Jeff, that the Rays are boring is because they don't know a lot of these players. But no, their style is a style that has allowed them, with the kind of funds that they have to work with and salary they have to work with, to excel to the point where they can get to the number one seed and be one step away from the World Series. So no, they're not boring. They just do it the way they have to do it.
Yeah, Todd. I think it's because you watched The Shift, and they invented The Shift. You
Stop
know
it.
That.
They
you
did
were
not
on the
invent
sideline.
The Shift.
You saw it. Sure,
Earl Weaver used The Shift.
No. They invented The Shift. It's, you know, basically, it's when anybody ever hits a ball hard that's not over the fence, there always seems to be a guy standing right there for the Rays. I think that's why.
That's awful.
Me,
when teams play good
really
defense,
is.
That's
better than everybody else. I think that's what it is, Todd.
Yeah, I mean, some of the catches they made in Game 3 were unworldly. Hard to call that boring, though, because not only are they sifted in the right spots, but they made phenomenal plays. Even their pitcher, Curtis, made a diving backhanded stop. So, yeah, they do it a little differently. Their offense really hasn't clicked at all during this series. and clicked enough during the Yankee series to advance them. But they're a good team. They've got arms that I think they did the graphic yesterday on the broadcast, come from every slot possible, lefty and righty. And if you get into that bullpen and you're tied or trailing, you're in trouble against Tampa Bay.
Okay, what do you think Alex Bregman has to do to get this rolling? He's 3-for-19 with no RBIs. I think if they're going to move on and go to the World Series, he's going to have to help offensively. What are you seeing with him?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. He's hit the ball hard and bad luck. If you follow what he's done this series, his numbers look terrible. But if you dive a little deeper, he has hit the ball hard, but he's hit the ball at people. He has good numbers against Blake Snell. I was a little surprised when I just saw the Astros lineup come out that Bregman's actually slotted down to fifth in the lineup today. They've moved Correa up to fourth and put Bregman at fifth. So I expect him against Snell, who he has good numbers against, and one of these games, the balls that he hits hard are going to fall in, and I think maybe this is the game for him. But he hasn't hit fifth in the lineup since 2018, so we'll see how he does down there.
You know, Todd, when Dusty Baker was named manager of the Astros, now Barker here has played for Baker. Yep. I've covered baseball for a long time, and I've been lucky enough to sit down with Dusty pregame, postgame, spring training, et cetera, et cetera. Just about everybody in the game at some point or another has had a chance to do that with Dusty. It seemed to me when the hiring was made, and we looked at each other, I said, this is a perfect hiring for Houston. First of all, because everybody likes Dusty. But beside that, he just seems to have, I know he has his critics, Todd, when it comes to handling pitching, but man, he just seems to know how to read a room, doesn't he? And he just seems to know, he seems to know how to give his players structure in a way that allows him to maintain some control, but also makes it very clear that it's their, it's their clubhouse.
Yeah, I think that's fair and accurate. Dusty is a player's manager. He's going to let the guys run the show. He is going to be a guy who diffuses a lot of criticism because, A, he wasn't there when all that happened, and, B, he's seen it all and done it all in baseball at this point, so nothing's going to faze him. So for all the above reasons, he's a guy that really has kind of stabilized things. He's been perfect blend for this team. I don't think the regular season was where they wanted to be, certainly at 29-31 and sneaking into the playoffs with the worst record in the American League of the playoff teams. But it's worked out well, going to Minnesota, going to Oakland, and going to L.A., and now going to San Diego and trying to stay alive in the series tonight.
Who do you think will get the ball when it matters out of the bullpen for the Astros after Framber?
I don't think they're going to have many options, honestly. I think they're looking at Christian Javier, who's a guy who started for them during the regular season. So Framber is the guy that took the ball deeper than any other starter for them consistently all year long. So I think they're looking for at least six out of Framber, and maybe the last two or maybe even the last three have like a McCullers and Wharton McCullers combo that they had in 2017 go all nine innings. You may not even see a quote-unquote reliever from the regular season in tonight's game.
You know, you talked about Framber Valdez, and as someone who I admit I have not seen the Astros a lot this year, but I'm looking at this team, and I understand Justin Verlander is hurt and faces rehab. But Todd, I got to tell you, I look at Valdez, I look at Javier, Enoli Paredes. They've got the makings of a decent rotation and bullpen 2 years down the road, don't they? I've been surprised by that. Valdez to me has been a revelation. I think I saw him pitch once, and it was okay. It wasn't a great game. But he's just been a revelation to me.
Yeah, if you watch Framber Valdez pitch in 2018 and 2019, you wouldn't believe what you're watching in 2020. Completely different guy. He has command now. He always used to struggle with command. Walks were a big issue for him in the past. But now he's taking control, and he's throwing strikes, and he's dropping that curveball in. And I would say if you guys are watching the game today, and it's an earlier start, 5 o'clock Central Time, and 3 o'clock out on the West Coast, those shadows at Petco Park can be tough. And when Framber drops that curveball in there with the shadows, I think you're going to see him spin it a lot in those first few innings. And same with Blake Snell. I think you're going to see Snell go to that slider and curveball a lot more in the beginning than he normally would, because I think it's really tough those first innings, couple of innings with the shadows for sure.
Are you surprised that Carlos Correa is so vocal?
No, he's always been that way.
Yeah.
He always speaks his mind, and to the point where Altuve, was always about team and team first, and never says anything about himself. Carlos is not afraid to back up his teammates. At the same time, he's not afraid to celebrate a big moment like he had yesterday. So, no, there's nothing that I hear from Carlos going all the way back to spring training when he was fighting back some of the things the Dodgers said. Nothing surprises me that Carlos says he's the most outspoken player on this team for sure.
Todd, good of you to do this as always. Great to hear your voice again. Again, I hope you're staying safe and keeping well, and look forward to seeing you in person when this thing gets back to normal.
Yeah, have fun.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Take care. That is Todd Callis. He's the TV voice of the Houston Astros, one of the really good folks in this game. I want to ask you this. Well, I sent you a text last night. I want to ask you about shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you about what it's like to face four different pitchers in a game. Who was it? It was Yandy Diaz, I think, at one point. Four at-bats had faced four different pitchers. But before we do that, a guy we talked about a little bit here, and I said I'd like the Blue Jays to at least snoop around on him, and you made the point that he's probably not an upgrade at center field. We don't talk about Michael Brantley an awful lot, but that at-bat he had last night, you know, I think it was I was listening to it on the radio. And it was either Chris Singleton or Dan. And I'm talking about the RBI.
Yeah.
That was Michael. That's Michael Brantley's career in a nutshell right there. Just the ability to do what you have to do to drive in runs. What do you see when you look at him as a hitter?
You ever
Kevin?
Seen a boxer that will throw a punch? When he starts to throw it, he stops, starts it again, and then punches and has anything left to make solid contact. You do not do that. Watch him hit. He eliminates his lower half very early, which means he stride separates. You see him do the little hand roll that he has. He'll get the foot down real early, and then his deal is he has to get off his backside. That's stopping momentum towards the baseball. That's why he's special for me. He has unbelievably strong wrist. I used to try and do that with two strikes. It's almost impossible because a lot of the time I did that, my back elbow would drop. That would have the barrel drag, and most of the time I would hit a foul ball or I would roll over it and hit a little weak ground ball to second base, and I would be mad and throw my bat and all these kind of things. But to watch him actually stay through balls, eliminating his lower half, and be fundamentally sound doing it over and over and over again, it's very special. Now, you know, would that be an upgrade for the Blue Jays? Offensively, it would be. You know, they don't really have a guy that can, when it matters, that you would want at the plate. Like, who was that guy? You'd have to think about it. Is it Bo? Would it be Vladdy?
Yeah.
You know, is it Kevin? You don't really know, right? If he's hot, maybe this guy. Maybe he would be that guy. You know, it would cost him a little bit. You know, you could probably get him here for 2 years.
You're right. I don't know where.
Defensively, where would you play him? Is he a center fielder? I don't really think so. You know, they got enough of those guys that you just sort of put there, and hopefully you line them up in the right position. They don't have to run a ton,
and they catch the balls
they normally catch.
And we've already agreed we like Gurriel and Hernandez. So I look at that, and I understand that there won't be any openings for DH either. But I just look at he is exactly what they need. Team in baseball could use Michael Brantley, but Kevin, you hit the nail on the head. He is exactly the type of hitter this team needs.
Yeah, he would mix up the righties too. He's a nice little something for that manager to have to think about. When do you use that left-handed pitcher? Mm-hmm. Or do you have to? Or do you pitch around him? You know, it just gives that other guy something to think about. He's one of those people. You know, he rarely will go outside the strike zone, which is a big deal. You know, the Blue Jays are young. They have a bunch of free swingers. You know, they're trying to establish their careers. What do? You can't do it by walking.
Yeah, keep in mind, too.
You're aggressive. So, you know, he'd be a nice little add, but it would cost him. Who would you rather have, him or George Springer?
Oh, George Springer, because he could play center
field
for
me. That's about another $75 million you'd have to spend to get George. Because, he's going to cost you about $100.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range. Maybe a little more to get him to Canada. But
keep in mind, too, that he was a member of the Cleveland Indians. He was drafted by them. He's a member of the Indians from 2009 to 2018. So he would have been there through the – I'm sorry, he's drafted by the Brewers. That's right. Then he was traded to the Indians. He would have been there. He would have been there through Shapiro and Atkins' time. So maybe there's a tie in there with Michael Brantley.
All right,
he's just such a great.
I wonder are the Blue Jays all in. I'm saying all in, not halfway in.
Listen to this deal, by the way. The Brewers sent Michael Brantley to the Indians to complete an earlier deal. That deal was the Brewers sending Rob Bryson, Zach Jackson, and Matt Laporta to the Indians for CeCe Sabathia. Michael Brantley is in the final year of his contract. He's 33 years old, $16 million.
He'll get a 2-year deal somewhere. I would assume it's not going to be with the Blue Jays, but the Ryu thing was a surprise. So you never know.
Would he be a good fallback for you? Everybody has to talk to George Springer, I think. And who knows? You talk to George Springer. Who knows where he goes? But once you've exhausted that, do you look at Brantley?
Here's what I do. This is just me. I save my money. I go all in on Lindor.
Okay. Yeah, you've been consistent. I can't argue. You've been consistent in that.
Lindor's younger.
You've been consistent.
He's a switch hitter. He plays shortstop. And that could move Bo to second. You got up the middle in the infield for a very long time.
Right. Okay. 590-590 is a text line. We're going to talk about shadows. We're going to talk about what it's like to face four different pitchers in your first four at-bats. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, so we got to talk about shadows. And we've got to talk about facing four different pitchers and four at-bats. Let's talk about the shadows, first of all, because Todd mentioned that. That will be an issue for the 5 o'clock or the 6 o'clock start. Keeping in mind, of course, that game is in a different time zone. So shadows are an issue. They were clearly an issue last night / yesterday afternoon. As someone who is... you've played in major league parks. You've also played in minor league parks. I've got to think you probably played in minor league parks with some weird shadows.
You didn't need shadows. The batter's eye was terrible. You saw what the Blue Jays organization went through just to make it
fair.
You know, usable that you could see a baseball from a pitcher kind of thing.
All right, so here's the thing. I'm standing at home plate. There's sun over home plate. There's shadow on the pitcher's mound. I'm standing at home plate. There's shadow over home plate and sun on the pitcher's mound. Which is worse? Which is worse for me as a hitter? In other words, I'm standing in sunlight looking out into shadow, or I'm standing in shadow looking out into sunlight.
Okay, it's worse for, I may be saying this a different way. He's bright. It goes dark, bright, you're dark.
Okay, so it's the change.
It is. It's the
if it's
the
solid, scene, it doesn't matter, right? From light to dark, it doesn't matter.
It does not, but okay. It's in and out. When you see it, you don't see it. You see it, you don't see it. Marquise Grissom used to always tell me, if there's shadows, crowd the plate more. Make the target smaller for him to throw to. Now, that takes guts.
That takes big balls.
Biggins,
it certainly does.
Biggins was Mark, grip.
Yeah.
But I tried it occasionally. Because there is no solution for that.
You can't.
There is no choking.
Did you wear sunglasses when you hit?
I couldn't. Depth perception. I could never. Yeah. I couldn't wear them in the field either. Ground ball would drive me nuts. I couldn't tell how close it was to me, so I never could wear them. I always wore the flip downs, but I could never do that, especially hitting. I could never tell how far away the ball was.
You know, Boston Meadows wear sunglasses, I think.
Yeah. You know, some of them. They do it to look cool. Not sure it works.
Well, my favorite is the guys who put it on top of their hat and never use them.
Yeah. They miss it.
They're
holding their glove up to for the shade. Yeah. And then
Dude, you got sunglasses.
Yeah. That's because a lot of times it doesn't work.
No, I had a couple of people ask me that to ask you and said, okay, they understand that it's going to look different. But so now we know if it's dark, sun and sun, or sun and dark. That's one thing. But it's when it goes through different stages.
And you're dark.
All right.
So the last thing you're seeing is dark. So it goes from, because basically your eyes are trying to adjust to, it's light, it's dark, it's light. And you have to sometimes
Can you pick up the dot on the ball going through?
I mean, when you're locked in, you can. I mean, that's like, I think, how many swings I take? I saw one time, I can remember this when I was summer league ball, that I actually saw the ball leave the bat. One time, and I can who knows how many swings I took when I played.
Mm-hmm.
I played 16 years everywhere. You know, I was playing nine
months. You saw the ball leave the bat.
One time. I actually saw me hitting the bottom part of the ball, and I will never forget. I can sit down and watch a baseball game and can close my eyes and picture myself seeing it. One time. People call me crazy, but I don't care. I saw it. One time. It was the greatest thing I've ever done as a hitter. I know I made it to the big leagues coming from a small town and whatever. That is the greatest thing I've ever done.
I mean, we talked about perfection. That's almost perfection.
Yeah, I was in Baltimore in a summer league. It's the first time I'd ever used wooden bat. And I, for whatever reason, I don't even know if it's locked in or not. It's just for some reason or the other, when he released it, I got it down in time and everything was on time. And when I made contact, I could see the bat hitting the ball and the ball have rotation again. I took thousands and thousands and thousands of swings, and it was one time.
Did you tell – did you
– I hit a home run as left field.
Did you tell – when he came back to the bench, did you tell anybody that, to the dugout? Did you tell your manager?
No, because nobody would believe me.
Yeah.
But I hit it a long way. Baltimore, hit a home run when I was like 16 or 15. There's nobody in the stands. Sort of like it was this year. Yeah,
that's cool. Impressive. But that would be fun.
It was the one time. It never happened again. Why it happened, I have no idea. It may be just, you know, everything lined up right. The baseball gods were flying over and went, I'm going to let you see that. And it happened that way. And I tried to search for it for another 16 years, Jeff, never saw it again.
What you didn't know was as part of that agreement would be you'd end up sitting in a booth with me with the shower curtain between us. That was part of the agreement. The baseball gods made with
somebody
you.
Mad,
Barker, we'll give you this perfect swing, this perfect moment in time.
Yeah.
But here's
the
catch.
In a summer league game where you weren't getting paid for it. Yeah. Stay hot.
All right. So let's talk about
the shadows is there is no rhyme or reason. You can't correct that. If you can't see it, you can't hit it.
I like that idea about crowd the plate.
That's what Grip would always say. Crowd the plate, try and make the target smaller for them to throw to. But again, if you can't see it and you're moving closer to the plate,
yeah,
it's not always.
The pitcher's also aware you're doing that too, right?
Now, doing it in July in a game against the Giants is one thing. Doing it in a playoff game, that's another.
All right, let's talk about the other topic, and again, 590-590 is a text line. A couple of people asked about this. There was a Yandy Diaz faced four different pitchers in his four at bats yesterday because it was a bullpen game. How hard is that for a hitter? It doesn't matter. Like once the game gets going, are you just adjusting?
I can only speak from what I think. Right. I can't answer for these other guys that try and hit, but for me, it was arm angles, and arm angles meant that I took strikes early in counts. Because I didn't want to chase something that I couldn't see. And say I faced the first pitcher that was straight over the top. Mm-hmm. Well, that's, Iron Mike, that's pretty big. You can see that for a long time. The next guy I face short arms it behind his ear. He's a little three quarter. I have a tough time seeing it. That means early in counts, I'm taking hittable pitches. I fall behind in counts. When you do that, your chances of getting a hit go down like 150 points kind of thing. So that's the difference for me is early in counts, I tend to take more pitches because it took me a pitch or two to figure out. Mile per hour, break on secondary pitches, 2020, they're used to seeing power.
Yeah.
Power's not a surprise anymore. We were just talking. Three digits, that's surprising. If you throw 98, so what? I see 98. Like Jose Altuve's turning around 99 miles an hour. That's not a huge deal anymore. Right. So I'm only answering for myself. Other people have their own thing, but you add shadows to the mix and you're facing four different pitchers. It could be a tough day for you. And that may be one of the reasons why you're seeing the Rays. I've said this from day one. The Rays don't have a good lineup. And you laughed at me and said it doesn't really matter. They don't. Like they have to have, a guy walk, a guy runs to base is good to third base, a guy get a sack fly. And you put pressure on base running that way. But if nobody's walking and nobody can steal a base, then how are they scoring runs? Can they hit enough solo home runs to compete? Not real sure of that.
A lot of people on 590 weighing in on the Kershaw comment. I'm from Halifax. Listen to you and Barker every day. Best baseball show ever. Thank you. Thank you. Been a Dodger fan since 1977. The most frustrating thing about Kershaw is how well lefties hit him in the playoffs. P.S. Yes, he's Hall of Fame worthy. I don't have his postseason splits here. And a couple of other people pointed out, hey, what about David Price? There are other good pitchers who falter in the playoffs, and there certainly are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not – I guess the difference with Clayton Kershaw is I don't know how many great pitchers have faltered as much as he has playing on great teams. You know, it's one thing if you're a great pitcher and you go out and your team is okay, you lose the game. That's one thing. But I don't know how many times Clayton Kershaw has gone into a series where everybody expects his team to win and he's crapped the bed. That to me is the big difference. Clayton Kershaw's pitching for the Mets. Mets, bad example. He's pitching for the Rays or something like that.
Yeah, but here's the deal with me for Clayton. I think it's only a matter of time when I watch him until he gives it up.
Yeah.
I didn't go into his game yesterday going, he's gonna dominate this game. They're gonna give it to whoever in the seventh inning and they're gonna win this game 7-2. I didn't think that. I thought when it was 1-0 or 1-1 that it's only a matter of time. If your pitcher can keep it close, he'll give it up. He'll stop throwing something, or he'll, you know, hang a breaking ball to Marcell Ozuna and he'll drive in a couple big runs and then the floodgates open. It's that kind of thing. So you just don't feel comfortable. You would think a guy that's has been that good during a regular season that, and why is that? Is that because he's had back issues? Is that because, analytically they get too involved and won't allow him to be himself, which I think that's a lot of it. You got one again.
You think he's got a lot of voices in his.
Yeah. You got a good breaking ball. Why are you throwing it a lot?
Yeah.
And you, how about pitching backwards a little bit? Like it's those, when he gets in trouble, where's he going? What's he going to? It's those kind of things. So I'm with that person, whoever texts that. Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, but you know, are you excited? Would you be excited to have him on your team? Like, yeah, he wouldn't be the one guy that I handed the ball to if I needed to win.
You know, what does excite me.
That
excites me.
Getting old.
Barker's Bundesliga picks.
How'd I do last week?
You were 2-2. There were two draws. You're 6-9 with six draws. At some point, you got to start picking a draw.
Not a chance. It's like watching the Rays.
What is?
Yes, sir.
The draw is soccer's version of the shift, right?
Yeah, hit a línea right up the middle. Oh, Adamas is standing right there. One out, nobody on in the fourth. Hey.
All these matches are on Sportsnet Ontario, Sportsnet World.
Get to your DVRs.
Jesus. The Sportsnet Now app. These are Bundesliga matches. I guess there's none today, hey? It's a Bundes-free Friday. All right, Saturday. TSG Hoffenheim against Borussia Dortmund.
Dortmund 3-1.
Yeah. All right. That's
I will say the song is a little catchy.
Well, it is.
Makes you want to bob your head a little.
Well, it does. It's also old as hell. Well, but it's about Gerd Müller. You should see video of Gerd Müller play. Gerd Müller was the man. They called him Der Bomber. You know, I got time to tell this story. True story. So I got
How long is this song?
It's not a. It just goes forever. It goes forever. So I got a true story. I went to the Adidas store, Adidas store in Boston, right? And I bought a shirt, and it's got, in German, it's got on the back, Der Bomber, Weltentour, okay? Oh. The Bomber's World Tour. And then it's got a list of all the goals he scored, right?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty proud of it, and it's like an old throwback German jersey.
Yeah.
So I wear it because we're flying from Logan to someplace. The guy in security says to me, excuse me, sure, you're wearing a shirt with Bomber in the back. Seriously, I said, I mean, it's a German soccer jersey, and that was the guy's name. And the guy's looking at me, and I thought, Jesus, I'm in trouble here. The guy said, I'm just kidding. Have a good day. Anyhow, enough of that. All right. So that's my Der Bomber story.
Good one.
Mainz against Bayer Leverkusen.
Mainz, 1-0.
That's not happening. Arminia Bielefeld against Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich, they've been kind of up and down.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's some issues there. You know, but there's some issues there, hey?
Yeah, I'll go home and do some homework on that. I wasn't listening. What were the teams?
Arminia Bielefeld against Bayern Munich. I've got to figure out why they're called Arminia. It's not even
7-0.
Different country. What? You're going to go Bayern 7-0? It's going to happen at some point this year. Somebody's going to pay. VfL Wolfsburg.
Yeah.
Against Borussia Mönchengladbach.
I'll go Gladbach.
I like that's good.
Yeah, 2-1.
That's a good pick. The last one's a toughie. No, it's actually not. This one's
tough.
Why
don't you pick it?
Because people don't care about it. FC Cologne against Eintracht Frankfurt. This used to be more fun when you'd say stuff like, I like me some cologne, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Now you're actually thinking about this.
Well, you're putting me on the spot. Now I got to go home, do some homework, and actually try at this. I'll go Frankfurt.
Yeah. What's Eintracht Frankfurt?
2-0.
Okay. And the last one.
I thought you said that was the last
one. No. Union Berlin. Okay, now they're kind of
a new team. That's a new team.
No, they were there last year. They're a smallish type team in Berlin. They're kind of trendy. They're kind of a trendy team.
Oh, so
they're playing
no
Schalke 04, which is just, I mean, they might as well be Schalke negative 04, because they suck big time this year. They really do.
So I'll go 04, 2-1. I don't believe a word you just said. So I'll go 04, 2-1.
Let's sleep on Union Berlin.
Tell me how it goes.
Right.
Can you text me? Let me know.
Those are Barker's Bundesliga. No, you have to watch it. Those are Barker's Bundesliga.
Now I have to watch it.
Yeah, you should watch it. You know what we should do? We do have an invite, by the way. Bayern Munich's fan club, Sudkur.
Yeah, it's
they want us to. Pandemic. They want us. No. They have invited. We have a standing invitation to go and drink beer with the lads and watch Bayern Munich
fun.
Play. Of course, I don't know now with social distancing. It would be a little tough, but when we come out on the other side of this, we will take them up on it, and I'll wear my Borussia Dortmund hat.
I don't have one of those.
You have something. You have a Bayern scarf. Remember, we took a picture of you with it.
Oh, that's right.
You can wear that one. You don't want a Borussia Dortmund hat.
I don't.
No.
Who's the best team?
Well, Bayern Munich, but I like Borussia Dortmund just because it's close to where I used to live. So, anyhow, hey, that was fun. And
when we show up Monday, who is your two World Series teams? Should I even ask?
Yeah. It'll be the
Astros, Braves.
No, it'll be the Rays and the Braves. And then we're going to have to put up with people whining about, no one wants to watch the Rays. You know what? Baseball fans will love watching the Rays and Braves play. Real baseball fans are going to eat that up. The rest of you.
Have a great weekend, everybody.